I shall begin with a statement from management that revive us again. I am thine, O Lord, I'll fly away. We're all approved by management. What Brad played was not, but that's okay. It was fun, and we got the idea. But it kind of sets the stage perfectly for what we're talking about today, and that is because the playlist can completely set the tone of the experience that you are going to have. When I think about playlists, I think back to my early days of travel and putting together road trip playlists. We did these things called mixtapes. Anybody remember mixtapes? Those were fun. And then we got into burning CDs, and we would put together maybe a playlist on the CD. Now, I mean, I can sit down on my phone and just like put something together and then hop in the car and go somewhere. And it's absolutely incredible the things that you can put together and how that can shape your experience. A few years ago, I had the chance to do a summer road trip, and I was traveling around to kind of the middle part of the country, and I just have to tell you that when you listen to the blues traveling through the Delta, it makes the vibe so much better. And when you go through, I had one playlist called Heartland. When you go through the middle part of the country, and you've got blaring in your speakers John Cougar Mellencamp going, "Ain't that America?" Oh my gosh, it just brings you to life. I mean, it's so incredible. We had fun with one several years ago. My wife Emma and I were visiting Pompeii, and there was a song called Pompeii by a band called Bastille that was out at the time. And I remember thinking to myself, when we go to Pompeii, we should listen to the song Pompeii. And so we get there, and we're walking through these old, ancient city gates, and I pull out my phone. And if you've heard the song before, it begins with this chant. It goes, everybody together. Just kidding. All right, and I mean, it is such a fun little kind of tribal, ancient beginning to the song. And we pulled out my phone, we hit play just like Brad did. We didn't have a cool speaker like he did, but we hit play on that phone. We started walking through those gates, and I just have to confess to you, it was way cooler than I thought it was going to be. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun because it just totally set the vibe. And you know, when we closed our eyes, it almost felt like we had been there before. That's the lyric of the song. If nobody missed, got that, nobody got that joke at nine either, it's okay. But I'll be here all day with my puns. But it is so formative for our experience in life when we think about the soundtracks and the playlists that we use to shape our experiences. The reality, though, is that our lives are shaped by playlists all day long. Our lives are shaped by outside noises. They're shaped by outside voices. We don't always get to choose the song that comes on the radio. We don't always get to choose what our ears will ingest and what will go to shape our lives. So the question for us becomes, and this is really what we're wrestling with today, not how to put together the ultimate road trip playlist, but what should be on the playlist for the road trip of life? When we think about our lives, what are the soundtracks, what are the playlists that are shaping us and are molding us and are giving us the guidance that we need for our lives? Now the challenge is that if we don't make that choice, if we are not intentional about what goes on that playlist, the decisions will be made for us. The average person, over 80% of Americans say that they check their phones within 10 minutes of waking up each day. And when they do, they are bombarded with notifications, with headlines, with posts, with political opinions, with all these different things that is they're trying to shape their life and trying to mold them into something, whether they have control of it or not. And so what ends up happening is we have these voices that shape us, these playlists that are created for us, and we're bombarded with a never-ending news cycle, with all the different opinions that we hear, with all the different cultural perspectives that are out there. And if we are not intentional about what goes on the playlist of our lives, we can be easily led astray by that. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, what is on our playlist? What are the things that we are giving voice to in our life to keep us from being shaped in the wrong direction? I believe that the Psalms are such a beautiful way for us to engage in the Word of God and to explore the Word of God and the language of God so that our lives are filled with the voices and the sounds and the playlists that we need to live a holy life. And so as we look at the Psalms, we're looking at one of them today. But really, we're looking at the role of the entire Psalter and all of the Psalms together, and the role that they can play in our lives of forming a playlist because this, after all, was the playlist of ancient Israel. This was their songbook. And as we think about these songs, how that playlist can shape us, how that playlist can mold us, and how it can lead us in a life that is dependent upon God and not subject to the wavering and the sways of everyday life and the culture in which we live. And so we look at this psalm that Emily so beautifully read to us, all eight verses of that psalm, and it is such a beautiful psalm, and it's one that's a song of trust. We'll explore what that means as we go through it, but this is the way that it begins. I love this image at the very beginning. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Now, originally in the old King James Version, that was almost written like a statement. I lift mine eyes up to the hills from whence my help comes. And the way it sounded originally to a lot of English hearers of this passage was as though the hills offered our relief. The hills offered our help. But it's actually a question, and it sets up verse 2 so beautifully, which says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And the first thing we see when we think about putting together these playlists, when we think about the songs that will shape us, the voices that will shape us, is this. Our lives need to be characterized by singing songs of trust. This is a beautiful song of trust, and it's one in which the ancient Israelites would have kind of used that image of the mountains off in the distance. They would lift their eyes to the hills. They would see kind of in a retrospective kind of way, they would look out and they would see and they would remember and believe and trust that God is with them and God is the one that provides them that their help that they need. I always think of this psalm and it makes me think of an experience I had when I was a freshman in college. When I was a freshman in college, it was 2001, that fall, and the 9/11 attacks happened. And on that day, we gathered in the chapel at Young Harris College. And if you've ever been there, I mean, it's such a beautiful chapel with these big open windows that look out to the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I remember our campus minister, Reverend Fred Whitley, he stood up in the front of the chapel and he just gazed out the window out at the Blue Ridge Mountains. And he just repeated over and over again, I lift mine eyes up to the hills from where my help comes from. And then he would repeat it. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that is a soundtrack, that is a playlist that we need on repeat in our lives, remembering where our help comes from. Now, this theme does not only appear in Psalm 121. It's actually one of the most common types of what we would call a psalm of orientation, which I'll share more about in a minute. These songs of trust appear all throughout the Psalter. We see it in Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It talks about the Lord providing, the Lord protecting, the Lord keeping watch over us. Psalm 37, another song of trust, says, trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. The idea of that psalm is centering our lives and trusting in God, no matter what is going on around us, keeping ourselves rooted and grounded with trust in God. We sing songs of trust, and those are the ones that shape us. Those are the ones that remind us that God is in control, and if God is in control, our lives are in good, safe hands. Now, this theme repeats throughout Psalm 121. If we look at verse 3, we see a word that's going to show up over and over and over again. Verse 3 says, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Now, it's important to note that this is what's known as a song of ascent. And we'll look at kind of the broader perspective of the song of ascent in just a moment. But the song of ascent, there are 15 of them from chapter 120 to 134. And they were the songs, they were the road trip playlist, so to speak, that the pilgrims to Jerusalem would sing on their way to Jerusalem. And so they would be going along on this trip, looking up at Mount Zion, the hill, the mountain of the Lord, looking at the elevation of Jerusalem in the distance. And you probably would imagine that they would be on some rocky paths. They would be in some places that may not always be safe, would not always be smooth. And they would sing these words, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. That theme emerges of as you're looking off in the distance at the hills that are calling you to worship God, calling you to trust in God, you're reminded that God is watching over you. That theme, sometimes translated as keep, that theme of watch, that same Hebrew word repeats several times, six times in fact, throughout Psalm 121. We see it in verse 3, which we just read. It shows up again in verse 4, verse 5, twice in verse 7, and then again in verse 8. It is this theme of the psalm as people are traveling on this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, as they are journeying through their lives, as they have this playlist that the people of God have constructed to shape them as people of trust, that word keeps popping up over and over and over again, reminding them that they need to be secure and fully in trust of God and God's work in their lives, for he watches over them and he keeps them. And so we continue and we look at kind of the broader perspective of those Songs of Ascent. So if you kind of zoom out and you look at the collection as a whole, there are a few different passages that show up that kind of set the theme of what this road trip looks like. And they can be formative for us as we think about the voices that we hear in our lives and the themes that we let shape us from God's holy word. So if we look at it, Psalm 120, for example, begins this way. You can kind of follow along with these if you can read them from where you are. It says, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. I call on the Lord in my distress. That's the way that the Song of Ascent collection begins. Calling on the Lord in my distress, and he will answer me. Then it says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. We actually used a version of that when we began the service today with our responsive psalm that we used at the beginning. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. As they are going to the house of the Lord, as they are on this pilgrimage, traveling on this road trip, those are words they use to shape their journey, rejoicing as they go along. Then we get in Psalm 125, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. And as we imagine them singing that song on their road trip, that pilgrimage, we can almost visualize that they are looking off at the distance and they see Mount Zion. They see the Temple Mount of the Lord, and they know how strong it is. They know how secure it is, and they imagine that their trust in God is like that. And then another one later on in the collection. This is another wonderful way to shape that experience of traveling and worshiping together. Psalm 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's this idea that as you're traveling along with other people through this journey of life, the unity of being with one another, the unity of experiencing worship of God and trusting in God together, it is beautiful and pleasant and good as we are all bound together as God's people. And all of these remind us that these songs of travel are actually ones that we can use to shape our journey through life. We sing these songs of travel. We sing them because they remind us to trust in God. Now, a few of these are what we would call laments. They're kind of psalms of disorientation. But most of them fall into the category of orientation. So many of the psalms are what we would call psalms of orientation. They're the ones that point us towards trusting God, point us towards an understanding of the world in which God is in control and we are following him and surrendering our lives to him. The ones of disorientation, which we're actually going to look at next week, are the ones where things have gone wrong in our lives and things are falling apart and we are trying to find and seek God in the midst of those difficult moments. But then there's also another type. And it's one we would call reorientation. Those are the ones where people have been through challenges, they have been through difficulties, they have traveled a few road trips of life, so to speak, and they have seen God be with them and God secure their lives. And so if we zoom out just a little bit further from these Songs of Ascent and we go back a few chapters, Psalm 118 gives us one of these Psalms of reorientation. It's a specific type. It is a song of thanksgiving. Now, I want you to hear these words and hear these themes as they unfold in the passage. It begins, this one is not eight verses, it's 29 verses, so we're not going to read the whole thing. But it begins with this orienting phrase. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. But then we skip down a few verses, that's kind of framing the direction that the psalm is going to go, but we get a little bit of the backstory. In verse 5 and 6, it says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" In other words, the psalmist has zoomed out a little bit. He's looking back on his life. He's looking back on challenges, and he's acknowledging that there were times where he was hard-pressed, where he was walking in difficulty, where other people were coming against him, when he was facing difficulties. Maybe it was health. Maybe it was the attacks of an enemy. Whatever it was, he's looking back, and he sees a moment of difficulty, and that moment of difficulty is part of why he is now singing a song of thanks and praise. We hear it even more in verse 13 when the story continues several verses later. "I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me." The Lord helped me. He's describing a rescue. He's describing what God did to come through for him in the midst of his difficulty. And then we go down a few verses later and we get wonderful phrases about entering the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving, coming and praising for our salvation, giving thanks for what the praise we have to offer. And then verse 24 is one you may not recognize in this translation, but I'll translate it to another version and you'll probably recognize it right away. Verse 24 says, "The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad." Or the way that I learned it and my kids know it, and we do this every single morning when I drive them to school, I will say to them, "This is the day that the Lord has made," and they will respond, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." That phrase, "This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it," is a response of thanksgiving. It's written by someone who experienced what it was like to be hard-pressed. It's written from the perspective of someone who knew what it was like to have a day of distress. It's written by someone who knows what it feels like to have the world fall apart around them and to see God lead them out of it. And so they sing songs of thanksgiving. That perspective of thanksgiving and a perspective of praise can help orient our lives. But once we've gone through a few things, it becomes even more important to give God the thanks and the praise for what he has done in our lives and the ways that we have been redeemed. When we think about songs of thanksgiving, we think of a testimony of what God has done. Last week, if you were here, you got to hear Hansel share a testimony of a miracle that God performed in his family's life. If you missed it, all of our services are archived online and you can go back and watch it. When you heard Emily preach a couple of weeks ago, she gave a testimony about how God worked in her life through the mission field and how it shaped the rest of her life in a powerful kind of way. There's a guy that I listen to on a regular basis. He's got a podcast for leadership, and most of the time it's Christian-oriented. He used to serve as a pastor. And about 20 years ago, he had this major burnout, ended up being hospitalized. It was an incredibly dark season in his life, and he thought about quitting everything and walking away, and he talks about it all the time. And I remember for a while, I would listen to his podcast, and I would think, why does he keep talking about this? And then it hit me one day, when you have gone through something, and you have seen God redeem you, you can't help but give thanks and praise for it, and keep testifying to what God has done. And when we look back on the journeys of our lives, that's part of the role that the Psalms can teach us. As we think about the road trip of our life, as we think about the turns and the pivots and the ditches that we find ourselves in and the off-roading we sometimes experience unintentionally, all of those are experiences we have in which we can see God's work at work in our lives. And when we do, we should take the time to look back and to give thanks. But not only that, our lives should be characterized by a life of praise. We have been saved by Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. All of us have the opportunity to walk in with the presence of God and to walk in the joy of those who have experienced salvation. And so we should always be people who sing those songs of thanksgiving, who sing those songs of praise, and have our lives oriented towards God in that kind of way. And so in that spirit, we're going to take a moment to walk through the experience of praise that we find throughout the Psalms. Now, let me offer just a word before we do this. If you happen to be newer to our church, maybe your first time or you haven't been a whole lot of times, and you find this experience to be odd, just come back next week. We'll be back to normal. If you've been here for a long time and you find this experience odd, just come back next week. We'll be back to normal. I mean, this is something we're going to do that's a little bit different. And my argument for why we are going to do this is everything we're about to do is 100% completely biblical, found within the Psalms. This is what I think the Psalms call us to do in terms of finding the right posture and the right language for our praise of God and living lives that are characterized by thanksgiving. If you look at the Psalms, you will discover that the word we find for praise is actually seven different words in Hebrew. There are seven different words, and each of them have an action associated with this. So what we're going to do is I want to teach you these seven words in Hebrew. I promise there will not be an exam. You're not going to have to spell it out in Hebrew letters or anything like that. But we're going to go through and experience them. And when I say experience, we're going to learn the words, and then we're going to practice the actions that are associated with each one. So here we go. I'm super excited. The choir doesn't know this, but they're in front of you. So you get to see their actions, Kenji's actions, Cindy's actions. They're going to be right alongside me. Right, Kenji? Y'all going to be cheerleading and just modeling perfectly for this. So here we go. The first word in Hebrew that we find that is translated as praise is one called yada. All right, everybody all together. One, two, three. Yada. Now, yada is a word that we translate as praise, but it is probably best understood as a confession of thanks. A confession of thanks. And it is described by two arms being extended. So you think of kind of that classic image of someone surrendered in praise to God. They are confessing their thanks for what God has done. So this builds off perfectly from Psalm 118, builds off perfectly from the God in whom we trust of Psalm 121. It is our confession of thanks for God being the one that we can trust and the one who has done great things in our lives. So when I count to three again, we're going to say yada, and then I want to invite you just to extend your arms in praise, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Yada. Didn't that feel good? I mean, didn't that just wake you up a little bit and make you kind of have the joy of the Lord in your heart? All right, so the next one is similar. Now, when I hear yada, I think ta-da, okay? So ta-da. And this next word is similar, but it's not ta-da, it's to-da, to-da. And to-da is similar. It is a confession of thanks or offering a sacrifice. So when people would give this kind of praise as a confession of thanks, they would offer it as a sacrifice to God. And it would be symbolized by the right arm being extended. So I want to invite you to do toda with me. All right, everybody, one, two, three. Toda. See, that felt good too. All of this is great. All right, the next one's going to be a little difficult for us to actually practice in our seats. This is Barak, not Barak. This is not a form of a president. Barak. Barak means to bless or to kneel. Now, the action that we would associate with this is kneeling before God in praise and thanksgiving. But in this particular instance, I'm just going to invite you to kind of lean forward. This is going to be the easiest one you'll do all today. So here we go. One, two, three, Barak. Felt awkward, but still good. The next one is Tahila. Tahila, this is not a Mexican drink. This is a tequila, and it means spontaneous praise demanded by God's attributes. That's the best way for us to describe it. Now, this is going to be probably the weirdest thing you're going to do today, but when we count to three, we're going to say, Tahila! And then you are all invited to sing whatever praise the Lord puts on your heart. So I want you to think through, maybe it's, something we sang earlier in the service, hallelujah, da-da-da-da, or maybe I am thine, O Lord, or, praise to the Lord, whatever it is, whatever song comes to your mind, you can make up one, it's okay. But when I count to three, we're going to yell Tahila, and we're all going to start singing whatever the Lord has put on our hearts. Everybody ready? One, two, three, Tahila! Jesus. Oh, Okay, all right, all right. I have to tell you what happened at the 9 o'clock service. At the 9 o'clock service, everybody goes, Tehila, and then you hear, blah, blah, blah. It was like all of a sudden the peer pressure in the room became suffocating and people realized no one else was doing it. And so they all got really, really quiet and then stopped singing. You guys did great. Choir, well done, my friends. Well done. Y'all did awesome. Bringing to life that spontaneous praise demanded by God's attributes. Which brings us to the next one, zamar. Zamar is praise through singing or plucking an instrument. So this is the word that's often used for praising God with the lyre, the stringed instrument we see in several of the Psalms. Now, we don't have stringed instruments to pass out to everyone today. We thought about putting a tambourine under everyone's pew, but decided against that as well. And so what we're going to do is we're going to use our hands for the making of music through praise, which we call zamar. And Kenji has a rule when it comes to clapping, that when we clap on the 2 and the 4. We clap on beat on the 2 and the 4. So I'm gonna give you the 1, you're gonna do clap, 3. All right, so that's the way we're gonna do it. And then I just want you to kind of, you know, give a big hand clap after that. So when I count to 3, we're gonna go zamar. And then it'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we'll all just clap. All right. That was too many instructions, I understand, but let's try. All right, so 1, 2, 3, zamar. 1, 3, 4, 1, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. But that wasn't a big enough clap. So let's just do one more time where everybody claps as loud and as enthusiastically as you can. Ready? 1, 2, 3, zamar. Yeah. Praise, 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 praise God. Remember, all of this is in the Bible. All right, and then the next one is halal. Halal, that's where we get the word hallelujah or alleluia. And it means to boast and to make a fool. And I don't think it would be fair in such a beautiful, historic, traditional space for everyone to dance. And so Kenji's going to lead that for us by himself. So, no, I'm kidding. I don't know how you're going to dance in the pews, but let's at least give some sort of gesture acknowledging praise. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, we're going to halal together. You don't have to literally make a fool of yourselves, but I probably will. 1, 2, 3, halal. Woo! Yeah. All right. See that felt good too. And while you are standing, we arrive at the last one, which is the most fun one of all of them. It is a word called shabak. Shabak. And it means to loudly laud and praise God with shouts of praise. And so when I say 1, 2, 3, we're going to say Shabbat, and then we're all going to let out our biggest enthusiastic praise to God. Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Shabbat. Woo! 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 All right. I don't think the church next door heard us, so we will try one more time. And this will be the end of the sermon, and you'll be off the hook. So here, everybody all together. 1, 2, 3. Shabbat. Amen. As you remain standing, hear this brief word of prayer, and then Kenji's going to lead us into our last song, where you will have the wonderful opportunity to live out whatever praise comes to your mind. And here's the important takeaway for us today. This is so important. If we don't choose the playlist, the world's going to. Let our lives be characterized as people of thanks, people of praise, and let that orient our lives so that we are walking in the truth and trust of God.